the subunit of this spike protein was packed proteins, and they're going out. Mm-hmm. I would think about IV glutathione and IV vitamin C really is good. I think that you in Europe are more advanced in this than we've been, kind of slow to come off to come onto this, but we're doing it now. In every city, you can go get IV glutathione, IV vitamin C, and that really may help destroy the some of the inflammation problem, but also the graphene and some of the bad tech that's in here.
Translate.
Okay, also was wir jetzt hier was sie jetzt noch hier angesprochen hat, ist, was tun, wenn jemand geimpft wurde und jetzt dort gerne Abhilfe schaffen möchte. Auch hier gibt es jetzt wieder eine sehr lange Liste bei ihr auf der Seite. Auch hier empfehle ich das, sich einfach in Google Translate mal zu übersetzen. Ivermectin spricht sie an und dann für 8 Wochen durchnehmen, so wie es dann eben auf der Verpackung steht, was man da nehmen soll. Für die Caffeine oder was da sonst drin ist, auch da gibt es ein paar Hinweise. Sie spricht Vitamin C und sie spricht auch hier die Ernährung an. Was man ganz weglassen soll, sind alle Arten von Ölen, ob kalt, ob warm gepresst, ob was auch immer. Also alles, was Entzündungen im Körper hervorrufen kann. Da auch das Tragen der Maske vermeiden, denn auch das Tragen der Maske führt zu Entzündungen. Und all das sollte man dann, wenn man geimpft wurde, bereits, das sollte man dann beachten. Was man, genau, also das ist ein Fall, wenn man eine Impfung erhalten hat sozusagen, was man tun kann. Man sollte nicht glauben, dass wenn man keine Symptome hat, dass man nicht noch Symptome bekommen kann. Es kann immer noch sein, dass auch erst Monate später es zu Blutverklumpungen oder anderen Symptomen kommen kann. Also auch hier legt sie es trotzdem nahe, auch wenn man noch keine Symptome zeigt, keine Nebenwirkungen, trotzdem bestimmte Vorkehrungen zu treffen.
Lee, well, I don't know how you do it, Saskia.
Well, Lee, let me ask this question according to the beginning. Ich habe, Saskia, ich habe zum Beispiel, wie die Grippeimpfung aufgekommen ist, habe ich mir gedacht, naja, das werde ich mir nicht zu Gemüte führen, weil was ist, wenn mein Immunsystem dann sich nicht mehr selbst updaten kann, nicht mehr so gut. Und habe das nie gemacht und bin drauf gekommen, dass es eigentlich meine mentale Einstellung ausmacht, ob ich eine Grippe bekomme, wenn alle anderen eine Grippe bekommen und oder nicht. Also ich habe keine Grippe mehr bekommen, auch wenn andere rundherum Grippe hatten, weil es aufgrund meiner mentalen Einstellung es ich so umgeschaltet habe. So. Und jetzt ist eben diese Impfung gekommen, vielleicht das als Vorgeschichte. Und dann hätte ich eben die Frage an Lee, ob sie jetzt ihrem Sohn genau diese Geschichte so erzählt und ob sie nicht jetzt auch die Angst hat, dass sie ihren Sohn sozusagen seine mentale Abwehrkraft dadurch nimmt und ihm damit auch schadet. Hat sie darüber nachgedacht?
Okay, what he says is that in the moment that he stopped thinking about, for example, the flu, getting a flu, he wouldn't get a flu anymore. Although everybody around him got the flu, he wouldn't get it because he didn't think about it anymore, like, I'm getting a flu too.
Mental.
His question now is, as your son Lee got the shot, are you telling him also all this information?
And
it's good for him to think about, is negatively affecting him mentally when you say it like this, or when you tell him this kind of stuff, or how is it, what do you say?
Okay, can we bring it to the people without disturbing them?
I don't think so. I mean, I think if, you know, look, it's like if I'm a doctor, if you had cancer and I saw it on the side of your neck, should I just not talk to you about it because I might scare you? I agree with your mental attitude idea. And I don't, and trust me, there's a lot to that, that it turns out that, but we have a lot of information about influenza that speaks to some really, it's the pollution in our world more than it was. It was never shown to be infectious, for example, but it wasn't all mental either. The people that died in the pandemic, well, I can talk about that later, but I'm just saying, I told my son this. I said, Nate, I really want you to take this seriously. There's lots we can do. but I think that you're at risk of this. I hope you took the placebo, but I really want you to take selenium, take vitamin D. I gave him the list that you have before you right now. And I showed them this list and I said, you know, when you come home at Christmas, I would like to take you down and get IV vitamin C and IV glutathione. Because, and here's the thing. How do you sugarcoat the fact that you've just taken synthetic RNA or synthetic DNA into your system? You know, unfortunately, the problem here is we've never had anything like this before. When we had the thalidomide problem in the 1950s and 1960s, it was really in late 50s, early 60s. Thalidomide was a bad drug. We stopped the problem by convincing the doctors, convinced people to not take it and took it off the market and it went away. But we can't get them to stop this. So we have to have people wake up and realize, please stop doing what you're doing and let's try and help you. You know, I believe we're in a war. And the war, in any war, people die. You can't save everybody in a war. And as physicians, we do triage. Sadly, you know, you have to decide, these people can be saved and these people over here can't be saved. That happens in every war. Mm-hmm. It's different in this war. In this war, people that come to us and they say, please help us. I did this, but I'm worried about it. They're into this. We can help them. We can tell you, yes, take this. But just like the cancer person, if he doesn't want to believe he has cancer and I can't, and I'm not a big proponent of these, a lot of these cancer therapies, maybe that's not my best metaphor, but I think that people, we want to help them. And the way you help them first is they have to realize, I think you have to do some things, because I'll tell you the story of influenza. And in it, and I live in a rural area, farm area. And when in every outbreak of influenza, going back 300, 400 years, an astronomer from Winnipeg looked at the outbreaks, and they all occurred with solar flares and high sun activity when the ionosphere was energized. Now, we had these outbreaks afterwards that now are seasonal, but that all started when we started stringing electrical lines and telegraph lines around the world. And every major influenza so-called pandemic or outbreak since 1859 has been during a time of increased electrical bombardment by a new modality. So first it was telegram, then it was radio, then it was radar, then satellites, cell phones. And that electrification of the world has made diseases show up.
Right.
It's not just mental. Don't get me wrong. I believe connecting with God is a key component here, that we're dealing with evil. You have to connect with good. And the, obviously mental spirit about this is right. But, you know, I mean, maybe I'm too concrete, but doctors, we are kind of concrete, especially surgeons. We just want to fix it. And I think we could fix some of this stuff, but let's not deny what is going on. I see people, they have a child that just died of myocarditis, and they're vaccinating their other children because they don't believe it's a universal problem.
Yeah, right.
I mean, look at these soccer players dropping over on the field. We had two die on the same day on opposing teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have to talk about these things. We have to stop this, of these young people, right. Protect our young people.
Dr. Merritt sent me, thank you. She sent me like, I don't know how many, 20 links? 15 to 20 links of sports players dying right on the field. And I want you to keep going, Dr. Merritt. I just want to welcome my friend, the letter before R, keep talking though. Keep talking, Dr. Merritt. Yeah. Then we'll bring in the letter before R. But,
okay. Well, I just think that there are certain things you can do that could probably make a big difference. And I do these anyway. I will tell you, everything on that list except quercetin, I was taking before the outbreak. because except the baby aspirin, I don't take that either. But before the outbreak, I took all but two of things on that list because it's good for you. I mean, eating a good diet with lots of healthy greens and antioxidant foods and avoiding the bad oils, we all should be doing that. Mm-hmm. You know, having a positive mental attitude, connecting with God, we all should be doing that. Mm-hmm. But now it's critical to take this seriously too. If you weren't taking selenium, this is the time to take selenium.
Was ist Selenium?
And yes, I have, I am.
Selene.
Was? Selene.
Selene.
Selenium. Yeah, selenium. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. I just think there are special things we could do.
Is it okay, Lee, if I translate it into German?
And yeah, sorry.
It? Of course, I'm going to put your name and link on it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's why I will email this to, you can get it off the internet. Mm-hmm. Probably, okay. Just download it, translate it.
Yeah. Perfekt, okay. Also ich möchte kurz zusammenfassen, was Lee jetzt nochmal gesagt hatte, auf die Frage von Gerhard. Kann man das in irgendeiner Weise den Menschen anders rüberbringen, ohne sie zu erschüttern? Nein, wahrscheinlich. Also es ist schwierig, etwas schön zu reden, was so schrecklich ist und so schreckliche Auswirkungen hat auf uns Menschen weltweit. Und das ist wie ein Beispiel, wenn jemand Krebs hat und man sieht es und als Arzt würde ich sagen, naja, ich sage Ihnen das nicht, weil ich Sie jetzt damit nicht erschüttern möchte. Also das wäre das Ähnliche, ja. Also es ist Zeit, dass wir, es ist schon lange Zeit und deswegen tun wir das schon so lange auf so vielfältigen Art und Weisen, die Informationen nach außen zu bringen, aufzuklären. Und auch Lösungsmöglichkeiten sind immer mit angezeigt. Ja? Es ist zum einen, dass wir das Problem benennen, was geht's hier, womit sind wir konfrontiert. Wir müssen es verstehen, auf der anderen Seite auch die Lösungswege aufzeigen. Und es gibt Lösungen. Und wie gesagt, wir haben eine wunderbare Seite oder mehrere Seiten, die Dr. Merritt uns hier zur Verfügung stellt mit ihrem Wissen auf allen in möglichen Bereichen und unter anderem eben, was tun, wenn jemand die Impfung erhalten hat und jetzt da raus will wieder, der eine Lösung sucht. Und dem kann man in dem Fall dann auch was anbieten. Und das ist wichtig, aber die Aufklärung ist wichtig. Und für unsere Kinder, um was geht es hier? Um die Kinder. Die haben keine Wahlmöglichkeiten. Die werden einfach hingebracht von ihren Eltern. Und hier ist es auch an uns, aufzuklären, die Eltern aufzuklären, was hier wirklich auf dem Spiel steht, nämlich das Leben ihrer Kinder. Und das ist wichtig. Und da können wir nicht schönreden, da müssen wir Klartext reden.
Ja, in Österreich spitzt sich die Lage zu. Es gibt schon 2G und Lockdown.
Ja.
Und das heißt, es wird schon offiziell eine Impfpflicht angesprochen und es soll alles dahin führen, dass sich alle impfen lassen wollen. Also insofern, und außerdem wurde ich zum Beispiel schon aufgrund einer TED-MA-Sendung schon angegriffen als Verschwörungssender, wobei ich natürlich geantwortet habe, was auch der Fall ist, dass ich in dieser Sendung speziell unterschiedliche Weltsichten zulasse. Das ist ja genau der Sinn dieser Sendung, dass wir unterschiedliche Weltansichten besprechen und nicht einfach mundtot machen, sondern man spricht einmal offen darüber und nicht jeder muss das annehmen, was er hört. Also jeder ist doch erwachsen genug, dass er selektiert, was ist für mich stimmig und was ist für mich nicht stimmig und das lasse ich weg. Mhm. Kannst du das übersetzen?
Ja. Also was davon soll ich jetzt nochmal übersetzen mit?
Also angefangen von, also dass wir diese Nachrichten hier bringen.
In Österreich ist es ja...
Ist das schon Verschwörung?
Okay, he's just saying that since he is doing this show with Ted, he got already attacked by others. Telling him that he is all is about conspiracy, and but we all know it. I've been attacked all the time. I know it. For me, it's normal to be attacked. But
it's new.
It only shows me. It only shows me that we are doing a great job, right?
Right. So you know, I had National Public Radio, NPR in America, just do a hatchet job on me, attack me, and that means I'm over the target. You know, they've purposely, you have to, people that think this is a conspiracy, just a theory, No, this is a conspiracy fact. Mm-hmm. And just ask yourself, what happened that caused us to be terrified and stay in our homes and all this kind of stuff? It was because the PCR test. Here, I'll share one other slide here. This is my story about conspiracy. Okay, so let me just see where I went with this.
Hi, I'm back.
Well, okay. I was just going to try and show something which I can't now find. Oh, here it is, maybe. No, I can't find it. Oh, there it is. Okay. So, all right. So let me just, I have to share screen. This.
Meanwhile. Okay.
I'm just going to share this. Just two things. Play from current slide. Okay. So in 2020, we got scared because we were told all these cases were going up. Okay. Here's the death curve from COVID is in America. This was the red United States death curve. That would not have made anybody blink. Every year there's a death curve from flu or whatever. But what happened is what got everybody terrified was this blue slide, this blue curve. And that was from that was from the case count. They started counting cases. Mm-hmm. Now, since the time of Hippocrates, we never counted a case unless the person was sick. Mm-hmm. So we retweaked the language and we started counting cases based on a positive test. Mm-hmm. I'll let you translate that and then I'll go to the next one.
Okay, also was wir jetzt anschauen ist, wie werden wir denn in Angst gehalten, vor allen Dingen seit 2020 jetzt das Ganze losging. Wir haben hier eine Anzeige, also ein Bild, ein Diagramm, wo wir eine Sterberate sehen, also eine Linie eingezeichnet ist. Und die haben wir jedes Jahr. Wir haben jedes Jahr eine Sterberate aufgrund von Grippe und so weiter und so fort. Das hatte bis dahin nicht wirklich jemand interessiert. Was ist seit letztem Jahr passiert? Seit letztem Jahr hat man angefangen, einzelne Fälle zu zählen, weshalb diese Sterberate-Linie sich nach oben verschoben hat. Man hat angefangen, jeden Fall aufzunehmen in diese Linie, der über einen PCR-Test positiv getestet wurde.
Now, so how did that happen? This is the worldview that I show to my friends who say, oh, this is just conspiracy theory. Mm-hmm. And I don't hear that too much in America anymore because people are watching what's going on. But this is what I tell them. What were those labs instructed to do? Okay. We've heard from Carrie Mullis and these people saying we should not have cycled these tests more than 30 times. Now, here's a graph. This is from Thermo Fisher. They're a manufacturer of this test. In every lab around the world of any size, they're lab managers. They got the tests and they got the instruction booklet. The booklet tells you how to do the test, that you cycle them between 20 and 30 times. If you go over 30, you start getting false positive. If you go over 35, it's all false positive. It's just It's like the broken clock that gets the right time twice a day. It's total nonsense. So you can't make sense when you're up in this realm. You can't make sense of the test. But what were we doing in 2020? We were cycling all these tests between 40 and 50 times. Very rarely, it was all over 35. Very rarely was it between 35 and 40. The average cycle amplification in 2020 was 45. So how did that come to be? You know, what? So you have two worldviews here. In one worldview, you have a group psychosis of lab managers, that all these lab managers suddenly lost their minds and couldn't do their job right. And they suddenly started overcycling the test. None of them undercycled. They all did it wrong, and they all did it wrong in the same direction. Now, that tells you something. And on that magic day in America of January 21st, they all started cycling down again. They started correcting themselves because they were told to. So either you believe in this world group psychosis of lab managers, or you believe they were told to overcycle the tests. Right. And when you believe they were told to overcycle the tests, which it has to be, on random chance, they would have undercycled some. So it can't be random chance, can't be group psychosis, I don't believe. They were told by somebody to overcycle the tests. Now, who could have done it? Well, not just one person, because it was all over the world. It wasn't just my state or your lab or Austria or the United States. It was all over the world. So people all over the world told their lab managers to overcycle the tests. You have more than two people. They got together to make a to commit something bad for the rest of the world. By definition, that's an international conspiracy. We don't talk about a conspiracy to have an ice cream party for our children.
Yeah,
and that's I guess what I'm going to tell. I mean, Gerhard, I you know, I understand his point, but it's not just me. It's like Dr. Zelenko, me. I don't speak for all doctors, but I can tell you, you know, Simone Gold, Zelenko, Peter McCullough, me, you know, Urso.
Excellent doctors.
AFLDS doctors. We all believe this is an attempt at murdering our children and ourselves. And I'm going to tell you, you can't just be nice about that completely. You have to fight. We have to fight this.
Yeah.
Do not let them kill us.
Yeah.
Übersetze mal.
Ja, also was sie jetzt hier nochmal angeführt hat, ist mit diesem PCR-Test, was hier eigentlich gemacht wurde, wie das gefaked wurde, indem man Zahlen, indem man völlig absurd Zahlen hat eingeordnet. Die haben also PCR-Test bekommen, haben dazu ein Buch bekommen und so sollte das jetzt verlaufen. Und daran sollten sich alle halten und das haben irgendwie weltweit alle da mitgemacht. Und dadurch wurden Zahlen erzeugt und in die Höhe getrieben, die es hätte gar nicht geben dürfen. Und das ist alles nachgewiesen, nicht nur von ihr zum Beispiel, von Dr. Merritt, sondern auch von vielen anderen wissenschaftlich arbeitenden Ärzten und so weiter und so fort. Weshalb wir nicht von einer Verschwörung ausgehen können, sondern wirklich von etwas, was Fakt, es ist ein Fakt. Und deswegen nochmal zusammengefasst, das Ganze kann man nicht verschönert rüberbringen. Das kann man nur ganz klar, so wie es ist, darstellen, mit Fakten sogar belegen. Und es geht, wie gesagt, nochmal betonen auf, es geht um uns, um unsere Kinder, es geht um unser Leben.
Ich habe hier auch Daten, und zwar von offizieller Stelle gesammelt, weil es mich echt interessiert hat. Und zwar, die AGES ist in Österreich die Österreichische Agentur für Gesundheit und Ernährungssicherheit der Republik Österreich. Also das sind Zahlen von der Republik Österreich. Und hier wird zusammengefasst vom 27. Februar 2020 bis zum 12.11. Jetzt habe ich die Zahlen rausgenommen, das war vor ein paar Tagen. 2021 gibt es insgesamt 11.317 SARS-CoV-Todesfälle insgesamt. Das sind also die AGES-Zahlen. So, und noch eine andere Zahl habe ich, und zwar interessanterweise am 9.11.2020 wurden die Daten verglichen mit dem 9.11.2021 und da gab es neue Fälle, 6.200 damals und jetzt 10.900. Und darunter wird aber nicht berücksichtigt, dass damals bei den 6.200 Fällen vor einem Jahr 26.000 Corona-Tests durchgeführt wurden und jetzt bei den 10.000, also nur gering mehr, gab es nicht 26.000 Tests, sondern 454.000 Tests. Und das wird nie berücksichtigt, dass einfach viel, viel mehr Tests gemacht werden. Das müsste man relativieren. Man vergleicht hier Äpfel mit Birnen. Und dann, jetzt kommt noch das Spannende, und zwar auch offizielle Zahlen von der Statistik Österreich, statistik.at, kann man auch nachschauen. Und zwar, wie viele Menschen sterben tatsächlich Jahr für Jahr in Österreich? Und das ist bis 2019 war es ziemlich genau immer 80.000 Menschen, die generell sterben. Dann 2020 waren es weniger, also 65.000. Und 2021 gibt es jetzt keine Jahreszahl, aber es gibt eine Zahl pro Monat und die ist auch geringer als früher. Also insgesamt sind viel weniger Menschen in Österreich gestorben, obwohl eben diese ganzen Corona-Todesfälle so groß, also groß und mit der Trompete hinaus posaunt werden. Das wollte ich einmal so sagen. Das sind eben offizielle Stellen. Können das die Menschen nicht lesen?
Wahrscheinlich nicht. Ich denke, beim RKI in Deutschland wäre das RKI. kann man das ähnlich nachvollziehen. Das braucht man nur lesen. Wissen ist Wissen, wo es steht.
Ja, und jetzt die Frage, wie kommen wir aus der Sache raus? Ich kann mit Vernunft und mit Fakten niemanden bewegen, ein neues Weltbild sich anzueignen und einmal zu sagen, ja, vorsichtshalber stoppe ich mal das Ganze, sondern im Gegenteil, wir werden jetzt angegriffen und eingesperrt. Also was muss jetzt passieren, dass wir hier unsere Meinungs- und Bewegungsfreiheit nicht mehr eingeschränkt bekommen? Das ist jetzt meine Frage.
What has to happen that we can get back our lives again?
Well, I mean, what we're saying here is we're not going into lockdowns again. I was going to ask you what's happening in Austria because we hear that that's happening, but we're going to say no. I don't think people will let themselves be locked down here again. No. You know, we're not going to accept mask mandates, and we're fighting the mandate. You know, the mandate, even people like in France too, even people that are vaccinated are helping to fight the mandates because they know there's no end to mandates. And if you believe that, it's really not about what's in this vaccine. It's about the principle, because if you believe that the government can tell you what to put in your body, then you don't own your body. They do. And you are by definition a slave. So we cannot accept mandates. End of story. That has to stop. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where we are. And I think in America, too, the other thing that's happening is we're pulling. I don't have little kids anymore, but I did homeschool. We are pulling children out of school. More parents are homeschooling than ever before, which is a good thing. We're creating little community efforts to buy equipment and get people like me that are semi-retired or retired doctors, retired nurses, to help people not go to the hospital, because we look at hospitals as killing places right now. And we're trying to get people to be cared for in these little home pods. So you get an oxygen generator, you get some IV poles, you get a nurse, a doctor, and you can help people like in a church or in a little building somebody donates. And if you need something, it's like a food co-op. You pay to join, that pot buys the equipment, and then you have the equipment. Things like an infrared sauna helps. What I'm thinking of, the hyperbaric oxygen. There's all sorts of things you could do to help people so they didn't go to the hospital. So I think those are the things. And then, you know, everybody's spreading the word about having ivermectin, getting these things in their house. Ultimately, though, to win, we have to get rid of the people that did this to us. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why it's important to call names out. I'm with David Martin. I have to say, if Gerhard thinks I'm being tough, he should listen to David Martin. David, I was in a meeting. We both spoke at Red Pill down in Louisiana. And David Martin, he was on fire. And he said he's not going to take it anymore. And he's going to name names. He's going to tell you the names of the people that are out there killing our children. And he was tough. I'd
love to have him on my show if you get a chance, you know, when you get a chance.
I'd love to have him on my podcast, too, but we'll see. I have a contact.
I'll get to it. Lee, okay. Lee, you mentioned the word placebo. Do you think that some of the chaps are not,
I do think so, and I'll tell you why. I talked to a bunch of, like, one of my colleagues is a pharmacist who quit before he was fired, but he just couldn't do it anymore. He saw what was happening. He couldn't give these vaccines anymore. But many people that have been giving these vaccines have said, even within the same batch, they're different. So some are clear, some are cloudy, some are more viscous. In other words, when you inject them, they're harder to inject. Ryan Cole, who's a hematopathologist, he actually had 6 vials, 2 of the Johnson & Johnson, 2 of the Moderna, 2 of the Pfizer vaccine vials. And when he put a magnet on them, 3 of them were magnetic, but 3 weren't. So they can't all be the same.
That's what I did. I asked some people who got the jab, and I told them to put a magnet on their arm, and they told me no magnetism. And from the other side, I heard even a coin who should not be magnetic sticks.
Right. I instead of having a stethoscope or a reflex hammer in my office, now I have a paperclip. So I do the paperclip test because it's lightweight.
Okay.
So when it first started, people first started getting vaccines. They got, I'd ask them, do you remember, it was totally voluntary, but everybody offered to volunteer. And my medical clinic, I'm not really doing medicine. I'm doing laser therapies. So it's not really, so these aren't the people that would come into a,